There is a story that my second grade teacher told us as we were preparing for First Communion. And strangely, I still remember the story. And the story of Michelangelo. She said that one day he was taking a walk in one of the gardens in Florence. And suddenly he stopped. And he stopped as if he had seen someone. It was actually a block of marble that was protruding from the ground. Grass had grown all around it. Years of filth and dirt had collected on it. And Michelangelo looked at this block of marble, and he said, "There is an angel trapped inside that marble, and I must set it free." And armed with a chisel, he sculptured that block of marble into a beautiful angel. And the teacher continued, she said, "Each one of us is an angel in the making. And God is the artist. And the Word of God and the Eucharist are the chisels that transform us into beautiful angels." Now, as I said, strangely, because there's nothing much I remember from my second grade, perhaps not even my first communion, but I remember that story, it stuck in my head, and when I became an adult, I actually verified if this teacher was telling the truth or was this a story she fabricated to teach us an important lesson. It turns out that the story is true. This sculpture statue is right now in the chapel of Saint Dominic in Bologna, Italy. Folks, we are in the Easter season and we are heading towards Pentecost. And I think what today's scripture particularly is telling us is that what Michelangelo said of that block of marble, I would like to apply to all of us. There is a disciple in each one of us. And I want to use Christ's words today to reflect on how individuals, on how Christians, on how we can be transformed into genuine, hardcore, radical disciples of Christ. So here are my 3 points for today. First, I want to reflect on these words, that you might bear much fruit and become my disciple. Now, I said to you that we are progressing in this Easter season, and the readings during the 7 weeks that we read in the Easter season are very intentionally chosen. And if we take all these readings together, we see a certain movement. Actually, there are two movements that I want to focus on. The first movement is what happens to the disciples, the visible change in the maturity of the followers of Christ. Now, you and I know that right after the death of Jesus, and even for the death of Jesus, they were all scattered. And especially after the resurrection, we meet a group of frightened, timid, distressed, hopeless, and closed group of the followers of Jesus. Now, as the readings progress, you realize that these followers of Christ now are becoming disciples the way Christ wanted them to be. And we see that in their boldness, in their fearlessness, in their purposeful preaching, and actually becoming a community of missionary disciples. They are not the same old folks. They are now transformed into something new. Similarly, Christ wishes to transform us. And what does Christ want to transform us into? The answer is in today's gospel reading. By this is my Father glorified, that you should bear much fruit and become my disciples. We're all human beings. And all of us are even Christians. But there is a difference between a human being, a Christian, and a disciple. As Christians, our life project in all that we do, right? There are children being baptized today. There are people get married. Somebody was married here yesterday. There are people we pray for. We have our professions. We have our homes. We have our bills to pay. We are busy with life. But in all of this, our life project should be to allow Christ to transform us into genuine, radical disciples. The greatest tragedy, and I hope this is the case for you, but for me, the greatest tragedy will be that on that last day, I will stand before God and God does not see in me somebody who followed Christ like Christ wanted me to. I would have wasted a lifetime. The greatest tragedy would be that at the end of our lives, we have professed Christ without becoming disciples. Secondly, I want to focus on the words, remain in me as I remain in you. See, in the early post-resurrection church, there was a second movement. I said the first movement was the transformation in the disciples. The second movement is a movement from an emphasis on Christ's physical presence to a more indwelling presence. So the readings in the last 4 weeks were all about Jesus' physical appearance to his disciples. But now the quality of that presence changes from physical appearance to the more indwelling God. So Jesus says to his disciples, remain in me as I remain in you. Thus far, Christ was with them, but now he's going to be in them, and he's inviting them to be in him. In the early church, Jesus remained in the disciples in three ways. First, through his word. Second, through the Holy Spirit. They're preparing for Pentecost. Jesus goes, the Spirit comes. And thirdly, in the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread was a signature gathering event for the disciples. They would gather and break bread, and they believed, like with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that Christ was present in their midst. So the best way to draw an analogy with Michelangelo's story is that the transformation that happened in the disciples was because of the three chisels: the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the breaking of the bread. These are the tools that allow Christ to transform us into who Christ wants us to be, his disciples. So today's Christ's words are inviting us to examine our relationship with Jesus, first of all in the scriptures. See, people say, read the Bible. So it's not just about reading the Bible. But the Christ in the Gospels, do I have a relationship with that Christ of the Gospels? That is what it means to take the scriptures and make it our own. hopefully, we have a deep relationship with the Christ of the Gospels. Secondly, hopefully we are aware of the Holy Spirit's promptings in our lives. Hopefully we take the time to know what the Spirit's promptings are. And thirdly, I hope that the breaking of the bread, in which Christ still comes to us in his real presence, that this gathering and what we do here is a significant part of our life, if not significant, the central part of our existence. The church teaches us that the Eucharist is the source and the summit of Christian life. So this is where it begins, this is where it ends, this is from where we are sent forth. So the three tools by which Christ transforms us into disciples. My third point, and I want to say that what I'm trying to focus is that there are Christians and then there are disciples. They should be the same thing, but sometimes it's not. See, I ended my first point by saying that the greatest tragedy in my life would be that I stand in God's presence and God does not recognize in me a disciple. There are Christians and there are disciples. Not all Christians are disciples. When the British were in India, and most of the Britishers that came were Christians, and Gandhi encountered them, Gandhi would say, "I love Christ, but not Christians." Because the experience of colonialism for him is so unlike the Christ of the Beatitudes. And so there are Christians, but they're not necessarily all disciples. Not all Christians are disciples, but if you are a disciple, then the chances are that you are also a Christian. Now, how do we separate disciples from Christians? What's the difference? And for me, the answer lies in a quote from my favorite saint. It's not a favorite saint of many, many folks, but for me, he is my hero, truly. And it's Archbishop Oscar Romero. He was recently made a saint by Pope Francis. And here is one of my very favorite quotes from him. Oscar Romero said, "A Christian must love what Christ loved in the Gospels and reject what Christ rejected in the Gospels." And for me, that is the mark of a disciple. You can put everything else aside. But if I can understand the Christ of the Gospels and love what he loved in the Gospels and reject what he rejected, then I think I'm on the way. Not there yet, but I think I'm on my way. Discipleship is about becoming, in today's world, in our times, an image of the Christ of the Gospels. And this is what is attractive to me also about Pope Francis. He's not a very churchy guy, but the centrality of his life and of his teaching is Christ of the Gospels, and that takes me as close as possible to what Christ wanted. I hope we are not just Christians. I hope we are on the way to becoming disciples. "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Now, in the Eucharist, all the three tools that the early Christians used for their transformation is available here. The Word of God that's just been proclaimed. The Holy Spirit that transforms bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And then in the breaking of the bread, Christ himself. There's nothing more we need. It's all here. as we participate in this Eucharist, may we indeed give glory to the Father because we have borne fruit and become Christ's disciples. People of God said, may I say just a little something. We have three children being baptized today. We have Layla over there. We have Lillian. Is Lillian here yet? Lillian? Not here yet. And then we have Rowan. And the reason I'm telling you this is Rowan has a twin. And her name is Reagan. Reagan Scacchetti. Scacchetti? Scacchetti. And this Reagan, this poor girl, I baptized her when she was how many years old?
1.5 years
old. And the reason I baptized her in the hospital was because she had a tumor in her brain. And for the last 5 years, we have really struggled trying to make sure that the tumor does not grow. She's so little, there was only, but I think how many surgeries has she been through? I don't know, countless. Every week seems to be so. In any case, we were hoping that Reagan would be all right and that we could baptize Rowan along with a formal baptism for Reagan in the church. Well, it's things have not gone our way, and Reagan, they're calling hospice care for her. She's 5 years old, 6 years old. So after Mass, Reagan and her parents will be here first to baptize Rowan, but then also to kind of pray for Reagan that I think Reagan is fine. I think she'll be an angel in heaven, but strength for the family has just been truly, truly, truly painful for a huge group of people that have been struggling with all the prayers that we have offered for Reagan, and yet it's time for her to go. So may I pray, may I ask you to pray for this family very, very deeply, hold them up this week very particularly, and that not just the family, but a lot of people, including me, find the strength to do for her what we have to do. So, inviting your prayers for all of this. Please rise. Let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried.